You are now listening to the Friends of Rugby podcast. Relax your anus. Balls. Thick thighs. Camille Schacht. Where's his neck? Eddie Jones. You're fucked, mate. We're nice now. Right,
it's fucking... Are you recording?
Yeah, I'm already recording.
For fuck's sake. I wasn't even near my mic. Don't dox my wife.
I just gotta let you know. I can't let you know when we're gonna start. I like the abrupt
Yeah, me
beginnings.
Too, but you know, don't dox me.
What do you mean dox you? I can't dox you. Your average address is...
126 Birchwood Avenue.
Hello, friends. You're listening to the Friends of Rugby.
Greetings.
How are you doing, Frank?
Yeah, I'm good. I did a level 2 rugby coaching course.
What did you learn?
Nothing. No, I learned loads. It was good.
Was it actually good? Because I'm thinking about
It was actually good. I enjoyed it a lot, yeah.
Taking that rugby program.
It was the best thing was just networking with other rugby people.
Just schmoozing?
Yeah, a lot of schmoozing. Seeing how they do drills different to me and stuff and being like, oh, I'm having that one. Mm-hmm. That one's good. That was the best thing.
Oh, so they'll give you like lots of drill ideas?
We spent all day and we all just coached each other. We all made a little coaching plan and we get like half an hour to coach each other as a group. And they're all, you know, no one's like giving you lip because they want you to do well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like having 15 of the best students of your life.
And everyone's supporting each
everyone's
other.
Like giving you super, oh, that was the best drill I've ever seen, Frank. And I was like, I know, it was brilliant. So I didn't get any realistic feedback.
You just did hands, like a line of hands?
Yeah.
Just pass the ball in a line?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We played a bit of kick tennis and they were like, that was amazing.
Line passing is the simple line passing is probably the best drill.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned some forward drills though, which isn't my forte. So
no?
I mean, I'm all right at it, but I got some good ones, you know? Anyway,
there's a lot of good forward back drills.
Yeah, I learned some.
Being a forward is where it's at in rugby.
I did a bit of flanking once.
Did you? Yeah. No, man. No, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I always thought you have like back energy.
I do have back energy. Yeah. I'm aware of that. Yeah.
You know, you care about yourself.
Care about my brain.
You went to university.
You know? Yeah, I do have back energy.
Yeah, you do have big back energy.
Yeah, I know that. It's not a bad thing. How are you doing?
Good. We have our first high school rugby game.
Yeah, you're
this
coaching.
Week. Yeah, I'm coaching now.
Head coach Steve.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for you.
30 kids that have never played rugby before.
Yeah.
Is a difficult task.
But you said
on.
That they've got the tackling down. And for me, that's the biggest challenge. So.
Yeah, they are a physical, rough bunch.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Some of them are going to be heartbroken because I'm naming the team tomorrow.
Mm.
So.
Can't you have two teams? No, it's too late now, isn't it?
No, we're bringing a team. We're just bringing a standard team.
Oh, that's the
really
worst.
Because that's how much the school bus fits.
Mm.
So, like, I was like, okay, then we're just gonna bring that many players. So, otherwise, I would suit them all and play them all.
Yeah,
but the bus only fits 23 kids or something like that. So I'm like, okay, then we're gonna bring 23 kids.
Yeah.
So,
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped too.
Yeah.
I'm pumped too. So, what do you want to talk about first today?
Well,
do you want to talk about the Oilers?
Playoffs. Oil Nation, let's go.
Oil Nation.
Yeah, what time is that game?
I think it's on like an hour.
It's on like right now. We're missing it.
Yeah, I think it's on in an hour.
Yeah, no, I don't want to talk about hockey because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I'm going to the game on Wednesday.
Are you?
Box seats.
Oh my God. Company?
Yeah, Michelle nice. Got some tickets.
Those are like $1,000 seats, probably.
There's like a meal and stuff like that. I think it's more than that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's on the company dam.
Nice.
But where do you want to start off? What do you want to talk about first? Because there was a lot of rugby. We were just talking about how much rugby there is.
We would say in that we're planning a little trip to Europe for your birthday. There's not a time of year where it's a bad time to go to Europe and watch rugby anymore.
No.
It's internationals. You know, knockout games, even the regular season, the quality and availability of the rugby is just, it's like a fucking buffet.
It is a rugby buffet.
Yeah.
That's the place to be.
Mm.
There's always rugby, top quality. Yeah, because if it's not a club game, it's internationals.
You could be watching one of the Barrett boys and RG Snyman playing in Dublin.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine that.
That would actually be pretty cool.
That would be cool. Yeah. Can't get a bus to anywhere though.
No.
So, like South Africa. Anyway, let's talk about the URC. I don't want to talk about the URC because I'm really upset.
Yeah, you're pretty bitter, eh?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, the first game we got to talk about is your bitter game.
I know. I'm trying to think about how I present myself when I talk about it because it was one of the most frustrating. I nearly stopped watching rugby after a...
If you don't want to talk about it, I could talk about the game.
Yeah, but don't troll me.
I wouldn't troll you.
Yes, you do all the fucking time.
No, I'll talk about
it. Tell me about
the game.
Cardiff Ulster. You didn't even watch it.
Cardiff Ulster. I'll talk about it.
All right. Tell me about Cardiff Ulster.
Ulster played a very good, wholesome game and just dominated a shitty Cardiff team.
Cunt.
Yeah, there was nothing really drama-ish about it.
I guess not.
You know, Cardiff just weren't good enough in Ulster.
Yeah, I mean, they got no.
I thought the reffing in this game was actually superb.
I knew you were going to say that. I was like teeing it up in my head. He's going to say something about how the reffing was good.
I didn't think that I would just fucking.
Yeah.
No. Well, you tell me what's wrong. What hurt you in this game?
It hurt because, you know, Ulster didn't do anything wrong. Ulster played rugby. They showed up and played a good game of rugby, right? I've got no issue with Ulster at all. I don't want to shit on refs, but I really, really want to shit on refs, but I don't want to do that to a public audience.
There's some shocking calls.
It was shocking. Yeah. Like,
do you think Cardiff would have won this game?
They had won that game. They'd given the try, which won them the game, and then he brought it back and gave to an Ulster penalty, which won. So I was already celebrating. I was like, yes, Cardiff win away.
Fucking did it.
Happy days. Turning off the TV and then, yeah. You know what? Ulster won. Cardiff lost. Cardiff now have 9 losing bonus points. So they could have done a lot more in the season to win a few of those games, I guess.
But, yeah, they're kind of, Cardiff's been like team always the bridesmaid, never the bride in this season. That's kind of the story of them.
I was chatting to an Ulster fan online in one of these like chat rooms when I was watching the live game. And we were both sort of joking with each other. It's like Battle of the Bridesmaids. And then we were saying, it's not even though, is it? It's like two uncles who you don't want at a wedding.
Yeah.
Because neither team are good enough to be bridesmaids either.
I think like a lot of the Cardiff games have been close though. 9 losing bonus points right there.
Basically,
that's the proof.
Every game I can think of have been exceptionally close games. And the frustrating thing about this is like, yeah, I really wasn't happy with the refereeing. It was so inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I think on a wider point, like the reffing standard in the URC especially has really bothered me. When I look at, it's not perfect, it's never going to be perfect anywhere, but when I watch the Gallagher Prem and other leagues, it does seem like the consistency is better, and I don't know whether that's home pressure or I don't know what it is, but it needs to get better.
Both these teams are under a lot of pressure.
They both, well, I think
Ulster brought in a new coach too.
I think Ulster are under a lot more pressure because they're expected to win these kind of games.
Yeah.
Right?
They're expected to be up there.
No one's expecting anything from the Welsh teams this season. So I think Cardiff are looking good for the future. Yeah, we're losing a couple of guys. We're losing Rhys Carey. We're losing Thomas Williams. Your big losses. Ellis Jenkin just announced his retirement today, which is absolutely gutting. Like, he was a guy who looked like the next Sam Warburton to me. And he had one of the worst knee, I was reading about it today, his knee injury against South Africa, and he put him out for 26 months. The surgeon had said, like, that's worse than someone getting kneecapped with a gun. That was one of the worst injuries I've
Holy
ever seen.
Shit.
Never mind.
So he's done now.
He's done now, but he played 43 games post that injury, but he retired, I think it was today or yesterday, announced it.
How old was he? Or how old is he?
I think he's 30.
He's not dead.
Very early 30s. So he could have had a longer, but he's basically never been the same. He's a smart, charismatic guy. Like, he's a real leader and he's a very good flanker. So it's a huge loss for Cardiff. But you know, what I was saying is like, Cardiff's future is bright. Just need to win some fucking games. And it would be nice if the ref helped us with that a bit, you know, and not in the sense that we're bribing him, in the sense that ref what you see. There was a very blatant John Cooney knock on, which was like, I didn't see that.
It doesn't help when all your youth goes and plays for Exeter.
it doesn't help.
It doesn't help when the whole under-20s team just goes to the Prem.
No, it doesn't. No. And then some of them were like, actually, we're English now.
Yeah. I think there was another story about another potential Welsh player.
Mm. Yeah.
Like an under-20s.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was his last name? Tupilatu? Or.
I don't know.
He's from Pontypool.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. But. It looks like he's going to be getting into the English system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what happens a lot of the time.
I wrote that down. I was reading that this morning.
There's a lot of Welsh guys who have played under 20s for England, but the whole time they're just going, hey, suckers, we're actually going to play for Wales when we're old enough. Like Ross Moriarty's one of those. He played U20s for England, but he was never going to play for England, like senior cap. It's never going to happen. Like, his dad was like a real old school Welsh player, you know? But anyway, long story short, very upset, may never watch rugby again. But then I did because I watched some other games.
And then we had Glasgow Sharks.
Yeah, what did we predict? I think we predicted Glasgow, didn't we?
I think so.
Yeah.
Glasgow is only 1 point behind Leinster.
Yeah.
Been a surprising. There's something about it, though. I feel like they have a very similar record.
Mm.
But there's something about it where they're just the gap between those two.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I can't see Glasgow beating Leinster in a final. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Because that's what I mean.
I can't even see Glasgow beating the Bulls.
Mm.
Either. There's something about Glasgow I don't have belief.
Me too.
That they're that good.
Yeah.
But they've been doing, maybe even with their champions.
That was the thing for me. That was the acid test because, yeah, they're flying high in the URC, but they didn't. I don't think they'd have got any further had they beaten, was it Harlequins? I think it was Harlequins they lost to.
I can't
remember. Yeah, it was the Harlequins.
It was close.
It was a close game.
Yes.
But I thought even if they win this, they're not getting any further. I just don't think they've got, it's a physicality thing. Like they play a really nice brand of rugby. I just don't think they could match like
but
a 2-1.
The numbers and the game results say different.
That's what, yeah, the stats, right? Don't lie.
It's one of those teams that, they're everything looks good, but I just feel like there's something that they're just not as good as everything is.
Yeah.
Everything's showing it to be. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
hard to put your finger on it.
I have to be talking bullshit.
Statistically, they're a good team. Really good team.
Statistically, by the numbers, they're a good team. They're the second best team in the URC.
That's right. Yeah. So. I don't know. I know what you. I sense what you're saying. I feel it.
The Sharks are probably the biggest letdown of the
year.
They are,
considering the team they got as well. Like that's like a lot of Springboks, and not even like old has been Springboks, like contemporary very good Springboks.
They just can't put it together. They're like the Crusaders.
Ooh,
they are. They're kind of like the Crusaders. Crusaders got a lot of good boys on their team.
Yeah.
And they just cannot put together.
No.
Anything.
Yeah, they can't.
Like it's a very surprising, like that's probably the most surprising thing of the URC year is the Sharks' performance.
Mm, yeah, I think so too. And I think a lot of the, like someone like Etzebeth went back to Sharks from big money in France and he's thinking the URC is a really good, exciting competition. We could be high flyers in there. Those guys have got to be a bit disappointed.
We need to do a deep dive into them. What's going on there?
Into the Sharks?
Yeah, we need to do like an investigative like a 60 minutes episode on them.
I'm not diving into shark infested waters.
Waka, 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 waka.
No, yeah, I don't know. I'm coaching. I'm not like into South African rugby enough. Like I've started to learn more about it, like the domestic game now, but I don't feel like an expert yet.
So you're such a hater.
I mean, I am, but I should know more about them by now.
You should.
Yeah.
They're in the best league in the world.
This is not the best league in the world.
It hands down is.
Not after that reffing.
Another big result. Lions beat Leinster. They put a hammering on them.
What's the excuse this time? It was our D team.
It was. There was a lot of names I didn't recognize on that team sheet.
Yeah.
So they rested a lot of players.
You don't respect the Lions.
Should they get investigated?
You get your hand bitten. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've got to apply the same rules to everyone, right? So wait for your investigation, Leinster. It's on the way.
Leinster just feel like they can give up a game.
They could. No, because that does jeopardize a home. Like, if they lose another game now, they might be in danger of losing their home quarter or semi, right?
There's a lot to say about this game, too. Like, Leinster's, like, they rest their guys. Mm. They rest essentially their whole first team.
That is a bit wild.
And the guys in the background just fucking did not perform.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that's kind of concerning.
Because
everyone's like, oh, Leinster depth. And like,
do you remember our South African conspiracy though? Remember who's coaching Leinster?
Oh,
maybe
he doesn't want to go down there and win.
Maybe he's shitting the bed at the end of the season to let the Stormers in through the back door.
Yeah, I thought it would be more competitive at least, but they got a fucking hammering.
Mm.
The Lions aren't as bad.
I watched the second half of that game. And I thought the Lions were really good. Like, I was really impressed with them. I was really impressed with their defense. I think there's still a lingering belief that the South Africans play like a super rugby side. Like, they'll attack from anywhere, but they defend shit.
They're 7-7.
Yeah.
And they have 5 losing bonus points.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying they're a bad team, but from their position in the league, you wouldn't have expected them to beat a Leinster B team, would you?
No.
So I was surprised how well they defended, is what I'm saying.
A valiant effort.
Yeah. Well, no, they fucking won. It's good effort.
Another team that's been really good this year, Benetton.
Yeah.
Pump the Dragons.
Yeah, we knew that would happen. But on a from a broader perspective, like, Benetton are genuinely good, you know? Like, everyone pumps the Dragons.
I can't wait for these knockout games.
It's actually, I'm
like, I can't wait for knockout rounds, because it's really, you're going to, like...
I'm so happy it's unpredictable. I'm so grateful the end of this season turned out to be a bit unpredictable.
I feel like, besides, like, because when it comes to the knockout stages, when it gets to the knockout stages, you're going to favor Leinster over anyone.
Yeah.
But after that, I think it's almost anyone's game.
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
Glasgow,
and I'm not saying Leinster is going to win. I'm just saying I'm going to pick them to win. Right? But they still could lose.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'd give Leinster the best odds, but I know exactly what you're saying. You know that top four right now, that's who I could see the semis being, actually. So it's got Leinster, Glasgow, Munster, and Bulls, and then you've got Benetton, Stormers, Ospreys, and Edinburgh. I don't think any of Benetton, Stormers, Ospreys, and Edinburgh will be the top four in knockouts.
Hopefully it is that top four too.
That was a nice top four.
That's a nice mix.
Four different countries as well. No, sorry, three different countries, but still I'm happy with that. You know, like, if that's what you want united rugby of all the rainbow nations together in one. Mm-hmm. At least that's what's happening at the top of the league and the bottom.
Wasn't it called
the
Rainbow Cup for...
Yeah, Benetton, the once and future Rainbow Cup winners, yeah.
Oh, that's right, they did win it.
They fucking pumped. Who did they beat? They actually beat them pretty handily as well. It was a good game.
The Rainbow Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that. That was great.
That was a little bit of COVID fun, eh?
That was COVID fun.
A little bit of cheeky COVID fun when we were all sat at home.
Oh, I just missed those good old COVID years.
Yeah, remember when they had a DJ for the crowd noises? Yeah. Pump it up.
Wasn't there a game where they had, like, cardboard cutouts too?
Probably.
Yeah, when you were watching that game and they had the added crowd noise, it was just so weird.
It was awful.
What an odd time to be alive.
It was weird, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, man. Bulls losing to Munster at home.
Yeah, they got a... I think the red card really didn't... The red ruined the game a bit for me. It made it not a competition.
What's the coach's name for the Bulls? Jake White or Jack White?
Jake White, yeah.
He's an odd character.
Everyone seems to respect him a lot, though.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. He does a bit...
He comes off odd.
He's eccentric, isn't he?
I gotta let you know, guys.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't there. And, like, he's got, like, an excuse for everything. Like, he seems like a guy that's full of excuses. It's just weird. It's just something about him that it's, like, kind of, like...
It's, like, weirdly theatrical, right?
Yes.
When he talks.
Yes, that's exactly the words. Yeah. See, your book learning always comes through for me.
Yeah.
Because I always have, like... I always, like, try to think about what I want to say.
Yeah.
But it never comes out.
Oh, I got the words.
Yeah. And then
the
he always,
words.
Like, helped me out. I was just like, okay, I want to say this thing, but I have no idea how to say it.
It reminds me, in a way, of Steve Borthwick, but not in the same way. Like, Steve Borthwick is a guy, I could sit down for a pint with him, talk for him 2 hours, and I would come away going, I don't understand him.
It's like every time they lose, he has that, we just ran out of time excuse.
I mean, I think Steve Borthwick is not a theatrical man. I think he's, like, kind of painfully honest, but he always has these, like, stock media answers. Like, you know, whoever I pick for the team, I make sure I pick the best players. Like, Steve, I asked you when your birthday was, whenever I pick a team, I pick the best players.
Oh, did you hear Courtney Laws talk about the Bulls?
Yeah, he was kind of mean, wasn't he?
Yeah, did you hear he suspected that they just made everything up.
He was accusing South African rugby of being a fucking drama fest.
Yeah,
he?
That was pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he seems like a kind of guy that would always think there's a conspiracy behind everything. He seems like a conspiracy guy.
You think so?
Yeah, because he's one of those guys that he was like, he was being interviewed, I think it was on the Rugby Pod also, and he's like, yeah, I'm just a guy that likes to speak his mind, you know, I'm not afraid to, like, you know, stir the pot. Those guys that always say that are conspiracy fucking guys.
They're right? The do-your-own-research crowd.
Yeah, they are the do-your-own-research crowd, and they will, like, fucking say the wildest shit, and they'll just believe, they'll see a Facebook meme of something, and that's just...
And that's their research.
And that's the research that's canon, right? Every time a guy comes up, he's like, yeah, I like to speak my mind.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this guy believes in bullshit. He gets, like, his fucking medical advice from Joe Rogan and You know, it's like, that's exactly what's going on here. Yeah. Yeah. But I thought that was a great comment.
Yeah.
I was like, he's like, no, I bet you anything, they all arrived fine, one plane and blah, 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 blah.
I've never heard him say anything controversial. So when I watched him say that, it kind of caught me off guard. And I was like, Courtney Laws is saying something like dramatic. Like,
yeah,
what the fuck is this?
That's true too, right? Like, yeah. I'm like, what?
He's such like a, normally he's very plain speaking, right?
This guy, it's like, yeah, I like to speak my mind. You don't even say anything.
Yeah, I've never heard you speak your mind.
Yeah.
So this is a first.
Like, this is the first time I ever heard you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't know him. Maybe he says lots of things to his wife that are speaking his mind, you know?
Yeah, but every time I hear someone say that, you're like, okay, I know where this guy is. Yeah, I know this guy, going, he believes in everything. Like,
like, do you know birds aren't real? Courtney Laws told me that.
Yeah, Courtney Laws, they're robots. Yeah, guaranteed. Yeah, but I thought that was that was a great comment. I was like, ooh,
yeah,
it kind of makes sense too. Like, they wanted to try to throw off Northampton, make them think that they're coming in a mess.
Yeah,
too. But when you look at that team, and you look about the whole thing, and the story is just like the shit show of like all the shit show that came out.
Yeah,
from that story, the Bulls and stuff.
Yeah.
That just seems very realistic. Seems very South African.
I didn't disagree with him. You know, I kind of thought that could probably be true based on everything he said. I just think that South African teams, it feels like they're trying to put up a bit of a front, right? It seems like there's some problems behind the scenes, maybe some money issues or not settling into all these long flights. Because it's hard for them, right? Like, they're doing international flights sometimes every week.
They are the masters at head games, though.
That's what I'm thinking. And that's what I think. They have this kind of culture.
When you look at the box,
their rugby is complete, right? It's not just about the on-field. It's about the coaching. It's about how you present your PR. They control the narrative and the game in every sense. But sometimes they do that. You scratch it a bit and you go, oh, that's bullshit, though. It's crumbling behind the scenes. And I feel like the Bulls are just in a bit of chaos, flying all over the place, knackered. And then they just thought, we need to control the narrative here. It's like, oh, yeah, we're just fucking with you. That wasn't a South African accent. I'm usually good at those. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I don't know. It was good. I like that. But the Bulls, they got to feel shitty about this one.
I just
and
feel
good
like
for Munster going down there.
Munster as well. It's like, are they riding their luck or what? Like,
they, oh man, like they show up when they don't need to.
Yeah,
and then when they need to show up, they fucking.
It's like
fall
it's
apart.
Like at the start of the season, they have like a map of all the games they're gonna play and be like, we're gonna lose this game, this game.
Yeah,
we don't need
like
to win them.
We're
gonna, and we're gonna win this game, and this game. Strategically get to a home semifinal. Like, it's almost like, I don't know. Some, you know, they seem to magically draw results out of their ass, which they desperately need.
They're,
you
also
know?
To me, Munster is like inches away from being a great team.
Yes,
right. Yeah. They have all the players. They have everything. They can just never get the puzzle pieces together.
But
at
they
the same
do
time.
Though. Like, they won it last year. You know, and they
yeah,
had the worst
the end,
start.
But they had the worst start.
They
remember
did.
How they
but it was like it was planned. You know, it's like we were just lulling you into us. They're the ones who control. They're the ones with the fucking mind games.
Yeah, they are. They're just,
you know?
Playing us all like,
oh,
oh
yeah,
look at
you
their
think
shitty
we're shit?
Champions
you think
Cup.
We're shit. Hello, beat you in South Africa.
Surprise. We're fucking here to play.
But they have had some bad luck with injuries, though, to be fair.
Yeah, their
they had
whole
some
team
rough
was
luck. Yeah.
They had guys fucking throwing up on the sidelines in the fucking knockout stage of the Champions Cup.
Yeah, seriously.
Fucking Munster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stormers,
oh,
too.
Oh, this was my game of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
what did you call them? The Ospies?
The hairsprays.
The hairsprays, yes.
That was from back in the day when they were all a bit prima donna. Some people call them the shit sprays, but they would be rude people.
Yeah.
No, fuck the Ospreys. But a good win for them.
In South Africa?
Huge win, actually.
I did not expect this.
No, I love Toby Booth as well. You know their manager, Toby Booth?
No.
Like, you want to listen to the guy talk? He just loves his team so much. He's a guy that they would ride into battle with. You know?
Oh, I like that.
You know, he's a real leader.
I like cheering for teams with, like, I love when a team has a good coach.
Yeah, yeah. He's a nice guy. Like, and he knows his shit. So I think with all the Welsh regions, they all knew their budget was getting slashed. Cardiff and Ospreys knew it was coming, leaned into the youngsters, deliberately didn't sign anyone overseas that was too expensive, just the guys they need to fill certain positions. And he's really managed his youth well. He knows when to play them, when to big them up, and it's paying dividends. They knew they weren't going to win the league, not with the budget and the squad they've got. But the results he's won are significant, right? This is a huge confidence boost for Welsh regions.
They're in the top eight.
They're good.
And they're having a pretty decent season.
They're having a much better season than anyone thought, because they were shite last season, right? Like, so he's doing some real good work with the guys he's got. I would say Cardiff are doing the same. They just can't seem to win fucking games, you know? Which is why I was so upset. But Stormers as well, they looked a bit ropey, to be honest. Like, I think it was the box kind of crossfield kick.
Because they would have had some time off, too, because they lost in that knockout round.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have had a game. Like, they had some time.
That's what I'm saying. They had time something to think, play this game. Let's just focus on winning the URC.
I would be let down if I was a Stormers fan.
I would be.
Yeah, they should have won this game.
They would expect to. And I think they underestimated Ospreys, and they kept trying the same things against the Ospreys. Like, they kept trying these crossfield kicks, and one of them got intercepted. And that's how one of the Ospreys tries came from. And they just kept doing things like that. It was like they didn't seem to be able to adapt their tactics, right? And Ospreys just went down there with kind of, not nothing to lose, but they went down there with a bit of a swashbuckling, let's fucking give it a go attitude. And it really paid off, you know?
Also, these like South African teams losing at home,
yeah,
too, and they and losing often, like losing once in a while, too. Yeah. It's kind of good for the league, because I think there was a lot of people worried that when they entered the URC, they were just going to like curb stomp the league.
I never thought that.
And I thought that was like the, a lot of people were worried about that, like, oh, they're just going to come in and just win it every year. And then they won it the first year they entered.
Yeah.
So I think people thought that that was going to be the future of the URC, just South Africa winning it every year. And seeing how competitive it is between the clubs is really good. For the league.
It is good for the league. I don't think there's any one country's team that hasn't beaten another country's team, if that makes sense. Right? Every nation who's putting forward teams, they've all beaten each other in one way or another, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. Beating South African teams in South Africa, it used to feel like this final boss that you could never beat, right? And like Ospreys doing this, and I think they're one of three teams to do it, but it does feel like we're starting to tear down the walls of that, right? That you can't beat people at altitude and you can't beat people in South Africa. It's obviously possible. And it's not just catching people off guard either,
right?
If you
put your heart to it, you can,
do anything.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it can though, right? So,
Connick pumped Zebre.
Yeah,
54-16.
Yeah, they did.
Connick.
What do you say about that?
There's like, kind of like nothing to say.
No, fuck that.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That was definitely a game that happened this weekend.
I wonder what's going on at Zebre.
The shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Benetton of like, they're like the bigger twin.
They're the Leinster.
Taking all the resources. Money and everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wonder what the difference in budget between the two teams is.
I have no idea.
I have no idea how Italian rugby works.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
Like, I
don't
know.
The mafia's involved.
They could be like sponsored by McDonald's. I don't know. Like, I have no idea how the system works.
Behind the scenes. But whatever is going on behind the scenes is working. U20s are looking good.
Yes.
Beating Wales, beating Scotland. Did they beat Scotland? Yeah, they beat Scotland in the Six Nations.
Most successful Six Nations.
Yeah, like they've got some really young, exciting talent. Like they're doing something right, aren't they? So why aren't Zebre getting some of that love? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. It's another conspiracy.
It's kind of like Dragons and Zebre. It's just like, I fucking care. Like, I mean, I want to care. Make me care.
They're the Falcons of the URC. Who is the Falcons? It'd be the Zebre.
Yeah, because they're consistently terrible.
I don't think they've won a game either.
Oh, they haven't?
I think they won one.
Yeah, I think they've won a game. Yeah, they've won a game.
They won a game.
I can't remember against who. Probably against the Dragons.
It's probably.
Probably against the Dragons. I can't remember, but I would not be surprised.
Oh, the Dragons have 3 wins. All against the Dragons. Edinburgh pumped the Scarlets.
Okay, I was also going to be like, who cares? But Scarlets started pretty well. They were winning at halftime. It was like, I think it was 2 tries apiece or something like that. Scarlets were ahead. They looked kind of like the Scarlets of old. And then they just fucking imploded. Edinburgh are a much better team and have a much better bench. And Scarlets just could not cope with it. So, but the thing is, it's like, if that had happened to someone like Cardiff, I'd have thought, oh, at least we're building for the future. Like Scarlets are bleeding players. Like Kieran Hardy just signed for the Ospreys, you know. He's our kind of third choice Welsh nine. I think another one of their guys just left. And they've got some guys on their books who, like with respect to Jonathan Davis, he's kind of old. And I think he's just taken up a portion of the budget. He doesn't play that often. I think they've got a bit bloated of a team for those results, you know. They need to do what Ospreys and Cardiff are doing and just focus on the youth, you know. Be willing to lose some games with respect, you know. But, you know, whatever.
And that was the exciting weekend.
Yeah. Well,
the URC.
We predicted badly again.
Did we? Yeah. He didn't even record it, so we don't even know.
Well, I know we both predicted Cardiff because I was like, oh, I don't know. And then
we both predicted Leinster.
I was going to say I was right about that because I feel like Cardiff won that game. I'm going to do a I'm going to do a Jamie George and be like, if that game had kept going, we'd have won.
Because this ran out of time.
Yeah, we just ran out of time. The clock beat us, not Ulster. We predicted Stormers to win because who wouldn't bet against the Welsh team traveling to South Africa? Who wouldn't bet against? I've lost myself in my words. We got it wrong.
I can't help you here.
No, that's fine. I'm just going to ignore it. And I think we predicted Leinster win because why wouldn't you? So that's three shocking results. No, one of them's not shocking, but
let's take a look at this. These Prem games too.
Okay, a glance at the Gallagher.
Yeah, I just want to take a glance. I just want to see anything exciting. Bath got a big win over Exeter.
Yeah.
You know, Northampton pumped Leicester.
I think I've got a false memory of Exeter being at the top of the league because you were telling me last week, like, Exeter aren't amazing, but they will be. And I was like, no, they're the best team in the Gallagher.
You had a thing where you thought they were like at the top of the league
I was angry they kept losing. I was like, no, wait a minute. They are losing a lot. So maybe I shouldn't be surprised by that.
The game I want to talk about is Bristol fucking 85-14 Newcastle. Yeah.
It's like the kid who gets bullied a lot, then bullying someone else to let out the system.
I feel sorry for this this Newcastle team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, fuck.
They're one of their best players, Adam Radwan. He's one of the best wingers in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just said he's going to go play sevens now. He's just like, fuck this.
I'm just going to leave.
I'm off.
I just want to fuck off out of this fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's got to be depressing to play there.
We'd know. We play for a pretty... Our club we play for is a
bit. You're getting paid. It's your job.
Right, right, right.
Like, we play for a shitty rugby club that loses all the time.
But we have a great time.
We have a great time.
Yeah, that's true.
Never mind. And our
I'm never demoralized.
Yeah, our livelihoods are not put on the line.
No, that's true. Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Yeah, we do play for the Bad News Bears of rugby here.
We do.
But
we fucking love it, don't we? We wouldn't have it any other way.
We love it. I'll go out and lose every fucking weekend.
Oh, me too, man. Yeah.
Right? So
this is different. You're right. This is professional sportsmen getting absolutely creamed regularly by Bristol. Oh dear.
Where are Bristol at in the standings? Let's take a look at the standings.
I know they're top four now. I think that game put them into the top four.
Let's see your.
So they've had a bit of a climb.
Oh, see, you know what? I did call Saracens to be in the top four at the end of the season.
You did. I don't think
they're sitting in third right now.
I can't. Northampton are the Leinster or the Gallagher though. Who's going to beat Northampton?
Oh, they got a smooth team.
Mm.
I really like Northampton.
Oh, me too. I mean, yeah, I'm having a bit of a.
How many rounds do they have left? Not many rounds left.
No, not a lot. Is it four, something like that?
Yeah,
yeah. I can't see anyone.
So you could see a shakeup.
Do you remember at the start of the Gallagher, and we were all excited and talking about how every game is so competitive?
Yeah,
it's starting to get to the point now where. They're not so competitive.
Because the league's going on, injuries
are
happening.
The attrition's starting
to
kick
in. So now you're seeing the depth is starting to come out. They're starting to rely on depth more.
And the teams who are battle-hardened and playing well, they're not fucking around now, are they? Like, Bristol aren't going to come out and try some things. They're coming out to kick your ass if they're playing Newcastle, right? Like
second place, Bath, have 9 wins, 6 losses, right? Leicester... You know, in 8th place, has 8 wins, 7 losses. So they're like only like
They could realistically make
right?
the playoffs.
Like, so it's you're looking at like a pretty competitive league.
You are,
besides Gloucester and Newcastle.
Yeah,
but like the top 8
could all make the playoffs. Well,
the top 8 could if they did a top 8. Like, I know Northampton would be the favorites, but it could be almost anyone's game.
Yeah. I mean, I think Northampton will win.
That's a healthy league.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah, it is in terms of the spectacle.
Yeah.
Definitely.
When you're looking at the standings and you're looking at like all these numbers.
Yeah.
Like everything's close.
It is. Yeah. It's good. I mean, like I said, this has been maybe a little bit the last few weeks. Last few rounds, but it had been before Christmas my favorite league to watch this year, just because every game was unpredictable. Now, like I said, it's becoming attritional, but can't see past Northampton. And with Finn Russell being injured, I can't see Bath doing anything. But
well, they got a big win. They got a big win.
They did. They did. Yeah, they did. But I don't see him winning it. Anyway. We dipped our toes into the Gallagher.
We dipped our toes. Let's dip our toes in some Super Rugby too.
Yeah.
Now we're going everywhere. We're global. We're globetrotting in this episode.
Yeah, well, we're paying attention to Super Rugby now, aren't we?
I wish it would, man. It's so much. It's got to be so much easier being like an NFL fan.
Why?
Because he's got one league.
Who wants that?
Yeah, but it's so much easier to compile everything. You got like leagues spread across. I want to, because I'm interested in all rugby.
My brain is a 5-bedroom house for rugby. Every bedroom needs a rugby team, a rugby league in it. Like I don't want a little shitty 1-bedroom apartment NFL.
I don't want one league. That would never happen. But
yeah,
it's just so much easier.
Don't like fuck that.
Like if you're doing an NFL podcast, it'd be so much easier.
Yeah,
because you just have one league.
But how do you like? We were sat here talking before, like about the drama, and like every week there's something different, something quality happening. I don't want one league. Like
there's still lots of drama in that.
Yeah, but it's they kind of milk it though.
There's like dog fighting rings, murder.
Yeah, fair. You know, okay, that drama is a bit more like, yeah, oh shit.
You got American drama when you're in the NFL.
Yeah. Worst we're talking about is Courtney Laws being mean to a professional rugby team.
Yeah, in the NFL you got dog fighting scandals, yeah, and then in fucking rugby you have Courtney Laws.
The funeral just, of O.J. Simpson. Like, yeah,
spitting random like conspiracies.
Yeah, yeah, so, that's true.
That's the real juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a... I worked with a guy from Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And we were eating lunch. He was reading the newspaper. And he's looking at me. He's like, and it was some kind of Canadian government scandal that happened.
Yeah.
And he's reading it. And he's like, Steve, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, what? He's like, look at this news article. I'm like, what about it?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, it's pretty bad, huh? He's like, this would even make the news in the States. Like, this would even make the newspaper. This is so fucking, like, Fisher Price.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is this?
No,
like,
one's been shot.
It's like, are you guys trying to create stuff? Like, you just couldn't believe how, like, our drama was just, like, fucking just bananas.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Government minister goes to Hawaii for a week on public funds. And, everyone's like, and in America, it's like, I wouldn't get out of bed for that news story.
Yeah, like, right? So, yeah. But let's talk about the most fucking surprising... season of rugby.
Aren't you so happy for Australian rugby though?
I'm
so happy because they just need to be good. They have to be good for world rugby to be healthy.
I was trying to think the other day about what is going on
in Australia.
Yeah, and if it's all smoke and mirrors,
like they're pretending it's in worse state than it is.
Australia is obviously evidently being more competitive this year than previous years.
Yeah.
The league has been more balanced this year.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking that there's a lot of Kiwi players playing in Japan.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of good top players.
Crusaders, ex-Crusaders.
Yeah, so there's a lot of players spread out too. And I'm wondering how much that's playing into it. Like, how much is the drain, the Kiwi drain from the Kiwi teams, like, how much is that affecting this? Like, is Australia stepping up to the plate, or is it really, like, is this, like, these player sabbaticals actually hurting Super Rugby?
I think also, the thing is, though, when I see a Crusaders team sheet or a Hurricanes team sheet or any of their teams, actually, you look from 1 to 15, even the 23, they're still all of them world-class players. So they have such depth. I'm not sure I buy that. I don't think I believe that.
I don't buy it either, but I'm wondering if it is a thing.
I don't think it's not affecting it. I don't think it's not a thing. I just think it's not a reason why Australian teams are beating Kiwi teams.
Like, I really want to believe that the Aussies are picking up their game.
I believe
stepping
that.
Up to the plate.
I believe that.
But there's something that's just like, man, hope. Is this smoke and mirrors? Is like, are they doing a David Blaine on me?
Yeah.
You know, like, because it's...
You've got friends in New Zealand. Ask them. I want to know now. Why is it? Because it's not that Kiwi teams are doing badly. The Hurricanes would probably win this, I think. But
you're still going to feel like a Kiwi team's going to win this.
Oh, yeah.
But man, like, there's some surprising results.
Well, that Western Force beating the Crusaders by a comfortable margin, that's a bit of a shocker.
The Reds blanked the Highlanders.
Yeah, and the Highlanders are probably the worst.
Aren't the Reds a team that's like almost folded?
No, as the Rebels. But they beat a Kiwi team the other week.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It's like,
fuck, I get the Reds and Rebels mixed up all the time.
Yeah.
So like, But fuck, like, it's, when you look at the results, like, there's always like a surprise every weekend.
Yeah,
there's like two surprises.
Yeah, I like it though. Like, I want to believe that Australian rugby is doing all right, because I do not want a Lions tour and a World Cup in Australia that is shit.
I think it really, we'll really find out this summer.
Yeah,
you're gonna find out where they're at. Who's going? Well, Wales is going over there.
I think we're going. Yeah, I think we are.
Oh, but you'll see. Yeah, you're gonna see that first.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's really gonna be a, like, if they win that.
We are not a good gauge of quality right now. No, we're not good enough to gauge other teams' qualities.
So that's really not a really good thing to gauge off of. Now, if they destroy Wales, if they fucking
I wouldn't read
them.
I wouldn't read much too into it. You know,
That could say something, but it really, the rugby championship is really going to show where they're
that's
at.
That's what I'm excited for.
I'm excited for see what Joe Schmidt's got up his sleeve.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the autumn series at the end here, aren't we? Which I think will be a real exciting one in terms of who's where in the global ability scales.
Well, let's look at it.
You want to do that now?
Yeah. What else are you going to say about Super Rugby?
Nothing, but I wrote down some other news points. And
let's talk about some other news. We forgot about the other news.
Yeah, no, totally. I've got Ian Foster. I've got, and Wasps rumors written down.
Oh.
And I'm not skipping them.
The Wasps.
Tell me about Wasps rumors.
The Wasps.
It's going to be a bad rumors. Year for Wasps. It's been a dry spring.
The Wasp rumors is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it, though. We're going to leave it.
No, fuck you, dude.
I'm just going to leave it.
I'm going to fucking say it if you don't. I have no details except what you told me.
I was reading an article.
Uh-oh.
Some guy named Kenny Logan. I don't know who he was.
No, not that guy.
Do you know who he is?
No, I've got a clue.
Me neither.
Fucking Kenny.
Talk about the future of the Wasps.
Yeah.
And supposedly there was an offer for the Wasps to join the MLR.
Oh, we should have done a drum roll. Could you edit a drum roll?
To join.
The MLR.
Yes.
The major leagues of rugby.
Imagine that.
That's not going to happen, is it?
That would be
funny, though.
That would be pretty funny.
I would love that. Remember when Toronto Wolfpack played in rugby league?
Yeah. It's just Toronto could do it. Like Toronto would be a good location for
Wasps.
You could put a Toronto team or a New York team in like the Prem or the URC or something like that.
Yeah.
Like that would work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's about a 6-hour flight. Yeah.
It's less than that. It's less than that.
From London to Toronto?
It's like 7 or 8 hours from here to London.
I just booked mine from Toronto to London. It's a 7-hour flight.
From Toronto. From Toronto, it's a 7-hour flight?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was shorter. I thought it was like a four.
But you know, but like an hour or two isn't a big difference, though, is it? You know,
yeah.
Like, so that's not the point.
You can easily.
It's still not a long flight, is it? It's not Argentina to New Zealand.
I read the article trying to figure out if it was like they were going to be like, where were the Wasps based in Coventry?
Yeah.
Like if they were going to base themselves in Coventry and play in the MLR, I'm like, well, how are those MLR teams going to afford to travel there?
Yeah.
Or they were going to move to the States. So I couldn't. They didn't really say anything about that. They just said that there was even offers.
I know it's funny, but I just cannot see how that logistically works at all. Like, you want English players playing in a league which is like, let's be real, like all it takes is a strong gust of wind, and the MLR is financially gone.
Yeah, they are like
teams come and go.
That league is hanging on by its like fingertips.
Some teams are right. Some teams are doing fine, but like all it's taken is one team to go under, and you've got a house of cards kind of thing.
Well, at the World Cup, I ran into an owner of an MLR team.
You didn't tell me this.
Oh, I didn't tell you this.
No,
I had to tell you this.
I do not remember that. That sounds like exactly the kind of thing I would remember you telling me.
Because I was walking. We were in Paris, and it was before the.
This sounds like a dream. I was walking around in Paris and I met an MLR team owner.
I did.
All right.
And I see this guy wearing this Utah Warriors jersey.
Oh, okay.
And I walked up to him and I was like, oh, are you from Utah?
And he had your mother's face.
I said, hey, are you from Utah? And he's like, how did you know? That's what and I'm like, I pointed at his jersey. He's like, oh, yeah. And then we start talking and just getting into it. Like, oh, this guy likes his rugby, and then we're talking, and then I'm talking about the MLR and stuff, and then he just like, I'm one of the owners of the Utah Warriors.
Oh, okay,
yeah, and he was telling me the finances are like tight.
Oh, we know,
yeah,
we know,
like they're not. He's like, listen, man, we are not in this for the money right now.
Yeah.
He's like,
They're in it because they love rugby, which well, I they're respect.
Hoping, like, from what he gathered me, they're hoping that the MLR turns into the MLS. Because when the MLS, like, started, it cost, like, pennies to get in.
Yeah.
But now you need almost $1 billion to start an MLS team.
Yeah, the MLS is actually doing really well.
But there was already, like, a set number of fans. Mm. Like, there was already a big soccer, like, fan community.
Well, yeah, because you've got a lot of Central and South Americans who love football who live in the United States, right? Like, it's not like you've got 1 million Australians living in... Well, maybe you do, but, you know, there's not as much rugby fans there naturally, is there? No,
because, like, rugby in North America is a very foreign sport. Mm. And if you're, in, like, especially in, like, if you... In America, like, rugby was only, like, is really, like, only played, like... Well, now it's played everywhere, but it was like a university,
like a niche university sport.
Yeah, like a niche university sport.
Yeah,
right. Like, kids don't like grow up like playing rugby. They do now because it's growing so big now.
Yeah,
but like the hurdle that the MLR has to go through is they have to create fans, right? Yeah. When the MLS, the fans are already there.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, they have to they're trying to like make a sport popular in a place where it's not.
Yeah.
So they have a way bigger mountain to climb.
They do. And they know that, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't see Wasps going to the MLR as being the answer to that either.
Man, it's going to happen.
I just don't like, how the fuck does that work though?
I think the Wasps would move to the United States.
But then, yeah.
That's the only way that would go. But it was a great...
It's a nice bit of drama, but I don't know. I can't see it. Hey, tell me what Ian Foster said the other day.
Ian Foster was bitching about how the Springboks were purposely slowing down the game in the final, and it was just unacceptable.
Yes. Tell me more.
That's basically it.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't say anything. He was just bitching about how they, like, it's, you know what? It's kind of like when I read that comment, it's like when an MMA fighter complains that he got wrestled fucked in a fight, right? And it's like, oh, he just like laid on me the whole time and then won the fight. Wasn't, you know,
and you have to go, those are also part of the rules of this game, though.
It's like, yeah, well, don't get wrestle fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how do you complain about that? Like, it's just like such a, like, that kind of stuff kind of pisses me off.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Like, oh, you know, if they wouldn't have like played like that, we would like,
if they
don't
didn't use
let
their scrum
play
as a weapon, was like, well, that's part of the game, though.
What do you like? Yeah, because like the Kiwis are so obsessed with the product of the game.
Mm.
Like, the only reason why they lose to anything is because like the other team is ruining the game.
It's against the spirit of the game.
Yeah, it's against that's why they won. It's because they went against the spirit of the game.
Yeah, they didn't break the rules, but they didn't play in a gentlemanly way where they just passed the ball and ran around each other.
Like, you see comments from their media like, oh, there was like fucking 20 minutes of scrums.
Yeah.
That's part of the fucking game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? That's part of the game.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I completely agree.
There was like the last 15 minutes was all scrums.
Yeah.
Good.
Stop knocking it on then.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like scrums because it's part of fucking rugby.
Yeah.
Like,
I love me a scrum.
Yeah. So it's like, oh man, it kind of triggered me when I saw that comment, because it was very much like when MMA fighters complain about getting wrestle fucked.
Yeah.
Don't get wrestle fucked.
Yeah. 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 Totally.
Are they slowing down the game?
Yeah.
Don't let them.
Yeah.
You know how you not let them slow down the game? Like, by not letting them, by playing the ball, by keeping the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I have a really love-hate relationship with South African rugby as well. It's like, if I let one of my friends came over and I'm playing a video game and he's like, I'm really good at this, let me show you. And I really don't want to, because I want to play the game. I don't want the South Africans in the URC or the Champions Cup. But then when they do, and I'm like, holy fuck, they're good at that. And I love watching them do it. It's like the same in the World Cup. It's like, they're so fucking good at what they do. But it's like,
you respect them because they play with the spirit of the game that you love.
That is the spirit of rugby for
me. Yes, that's the thing. They are drama queens. Like, South Africa are drama queens. They're always like a victim of some
Exactly. I go on about it all the time. They've got this massive chip on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, no one respects them. It's like, mate, everybody respects you. Yeah. Calm down. You know?
But the way they win games, they use the grit and grime of rugby, like the shit that you love, and that's how they win the games.
Every time they do it, they do it with such confidence as well. They do these ballsy forwards plays. They do things that no one else would think of, and then everyone stood there with shocked faces going like, I can't believe they just did that.
They're having like video game sessions.
Yeah.
Like, the whole team's playing the video game. Did you read about that?
Yeah, it's so innovative,
like,
isn't it?
Just the most, like, Razzy will try anything.
He will. He's such a like innovative coach.
I'm surprised he hasn't taken like the fucking team to like Peru to do some like ayahuasca retreat. They all get fucked up and
No, boys, sit there and envision yourself throwing the ball,
tripping balls
look
on
at
fucking
de Klerk's head ayahuasca. As it floats off his head.
There is this. Is it called ayahuasca or is it the cactus? They drink the cactus.
Yeah, it's like a hallucinogen.
Like you know, they have those like fucking hippie retreats in like Peru and shit where they just get fucked up. Like I'm surprised he hasn't taken them to that.
Yeah.
Right, you know,
so what I want to see is like they bring on, you know, like those old 90s movie, there was a dog playing basketball and a dog plays like, and our starting lineup is a greyhound. They're allowed to do that's nothing. They're all say you can't. And then the greyhound is amazing.
And they win.
And they win. And the Kiwi's like, it's against the spirit of the game.
Because Razzie will try anything. He's like, oh, I wonder, he'll take the whole team to fucking Burning Man.
Yeah.
He will try anything.
But you know what the annoying thing is? He's not some lunatic. It fucking works.
Yeah. Springboks have just entered the Tour de France. Just like, what the fuck?
On a 15-man tandem bicycle. Yeah. And they win.
It's the one with the table in the middle.
Yeah. They're all drinking around it.
And studying rugby while they're biking and he's just steering the front.
I would watch that race.
Yeah, because it's like, it's wild. Like, he's got a fucking traffic light in the thing. It's like, bang, 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 bang. Like that. It's just great.
Yeah.
It's great. How do you not love that?
I know, I do. That's what I'm saying. That's why I have a kind of love-hate relationship with him, right? Because when they do these things where they're like whining about their schedule and stuff, it's like, you wanted to be in this competition. Deal with it. But then they act like, oh, no one respects us. We've got so much to prove in this competition. It's like, no, you don't. We know you're good at rugby.
Because Kiwis get a lot, like, they get a lot, they hate how they get a lot of flack from, like, international fans.
Yeah.
About how they are about the game. But fuck, man, when you read shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, they're always complaining about, like, oh, fuck. Like, if you, like, don't, like, if you don't play like the Harlem Globetrotters and you play defense, you're just an awful rugby team.
And the weird thing is like that's no bad. One, if they played more like South Africa, no one would mind. They hold themselves to really weird high standards, which is fine, but they do seem to project that onto other people when it doesn't go well, right?
I think it's I think it comes from, I'm talking on my ass here, but.
Yeah, like, me too, don't worry.
I think it might come from, because you know, like they were so innovative, like they changed the game.
Yeah.
And they kind of relied on that too long.
Yeah, they
like,
did.
This style wins games. And then the whole world kind of caught up.
Yeah. But they did that a couple of times, didn't they? They reinvented the game a couple of times. And everyone was like, we can't even catch up. And then South Africa did it, didn't they, a couple of times. They kind of reinvented how you
win
a rugby game.
But their fast running rugby, offloading rugby, has been dominant for a long time.
Oh, it has. Yeah,
and it's taken the world a long time to catch up.
Yeah.
But the teams have figured it out.
And here's the thing. They're not doing it. They're not beating them at their own game. They found a way to do it their own way. Like Ireland found a way to beat them their own way. They didn't have to go there and match them with their offloading running rugby.
Because it'd be frustrating. You'd watch New Zealand. You'd watch a New Zealand game like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it would go exactly like this. They'd be getting fucking pumped.
Yeah.
They're getting out-muscled. They're getting outplayed.
Yeah.
They barely have the ball.
Yeah.
They don't have the ball at all. They can't even get their hands
like
on the ball.
Like 20% possession.
Yeah. And then you look at the score and it's New Zealand 60, fucking Ireland 10.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
The stats
how
did
the
not
fuck did this happen,
believe.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Because they just like caught the ball on some broken playing score try.
Yeah.
Right?
And made it look easy.
And then the rest of the game, they're just like fucking like just getting annihilated.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, oh, fuck, they're getting destroyed. And then you look at the score. Yeah. 60 to 10.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck? Like 100 and something. Like, you know, they're just destroying.
And they
teams.
Never look uncomfortable even when they were getting like out-muscled, right?
Right.
They never looked uncomfortable.
And teams are like basically like the defense in teams around the world are so good now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the skill level globally has just gotten better.
Yes.
You know,
there's a lot more money too being thrown around
in
development and getting players.
But here's the thing though. New Zealand aren't, I'm not saying they're bad either. They're still like, people hate them because they respect them. People hate them because they're sick of them winning all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, we don't hate them because, not we, I don't hate them at all, but like people don't hate them because they were doing something dodgy or anything like that. They were always just so fucking good. It got boring, right?
Yeah,
and we're just excited that world rugby has opened up a bit. That other teams like France and Ireland are stepping up.
And we're still not even in. We're talking like New Zealand is like not the most dominant.
Exactly,
team.
They still are.
They still are.
I'd still bet against them against anyone on their day. You know, I still would. deep down.
Oh, hands down. I don't. If they play
even
anyone,
against South Africa,
favorites.
I'd still bet on New Zealand.
Yeah, 100%.
You know.
So, I don't know. Just an odd.
What are we talking about?
I love rugby. I don't know. We went on a tangent.
Yeah, we're going off today, aren't we? Yeah.
We went fucking everywhere.
Anyway,
on that
Ian
one.
Foster. Mean about South Africa.
Yeah, you made a whingy comment.
Yeah.
I just wanted to blast them about it.
I feel
it.
Like we were quite mean about Kiwis as well. Like, they're fine. I like them.
No, fuck them.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough. Sorry, I didn't get the memo.
we talked them up a lot.
Do we?
I think enough.
Okay. I feel like Ian Foster shouldn't be sticking his head above the parapet either.
Yeah, I think you need to...
Let Steve Hansen say those things.
I think he overachieved too anyways. Like he did a lot more than his whole country thought. Like they were ready to like burn him at the stake.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
they were going to go Salem on his ass. Like,
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Christchurch witch trials.
He proved a lot of them wrong.
He did.
All right, let's look at these Autumn Internationals.
Okay.
So we got... the first week, got England and New Zealand.
Okay, I want to point something out first, right?
Okay.
So in the Autumn Nations Series fixtures 2024 poster I'm looking at, the first thing it says is week zero, and then it goes to week one, which is the second week. The fuck is week zero?
That's the build-up.
The build-up to what? This isn't a competition. There's no trophy at the end.
You just get like real excited.
I was already
you
excited.
Have a feast. It's like you have a Thanksgiving feast.
What I'm saying is, it's just this gross squeeze every penny out of this game as you can. And I know the game needs money, but just call it week one. If there's 5 weeks of it, so be it. Right? It's cringy.
Scott Robertson has a mission.
He does, eh?
When he comes up north.
I don't think he's worried.
He's got to play. Fuck.
Do you know what he's doing right now? Breakdancing. Doesn't give a fuck. He's not worried about this stuff.
They play these guys like three in a row.
They play. So yeah, New Zealand's fixtures for the autumn are England,
Ireland,
France.
Oh my god.
And then Italy for dessert.
Holy fuck. They're basically playing almost the whole Six Nations. They're just not playing. What are they? They're not playing Scotland. Yeah.
Yeah. They're playing as many of us as they can, basically.
Like that is a mission.
Yeah.
That's a. They're gonna be haggard by the end of this.
Oh, or battle hardened and ready to go
or
again. I'm excited.
They could possibly lose every one of these games.
I'm really excited about the rugby championship in this because I'm so excited to see what Scott Robertson does with the All Blacks.
Like they might beat England. That'll be a good game. Ireland are going to be super horny to get some revenge on them.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot more passion on the Irish side.
Yeah, but New Zealand will know that. They'll be like, these guys are coming for us. We got to be ready.
And like Ireland is like not afraid of New Zealand anymore.
No.
Like I think they're just jonesing for this game.
Yeah.
France, like if New Zealand could beat France.
Yeah, I think they will, to be honest. France feel a bit... Well, Dupont and Entomac are back.
But so. When's the Summer Olympics?
Is he
no, I'll be after. That'll be after. So DuPont will be back.
Yeah.
So yeah. So, like that's who's Argentina playing? Ireland, Italy.
I'm really excited for Argentina, Italy. That's going to be one of the games of the series for me.
Yeah, it is.
Like I feel like Argentina and Italy have matured all of a sudden. You know, they've just had their bar mitzvah and now they're ready to like come to the table. And Argentina are like the first mini boss. It's like if you can beat us, people will respect you. Actually, no, they beat Wales, and that was the first mini-boss.
Well, even Japan is coming to town, too.
Yeah. They're quite crap these days, though.
Yeah.
I can't see him beating
them. Oh, is he playing... Japan's playing England in Japan, eh?
Yeah, I heard
in
that.
In the summer tour?
Yeah.
Coming
is
in.
Is that week 0.5 or something?
Yeah.
Some fucking...
Yeah. That's like... I think they're playing them right before... I think England are stopping there on their way to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So Eddie Jones has got to be...
Oh yeah,
yes.
Forgot about that. There's so many stories going on here,
which is kind of sad. Like they're only playing one game. Oh no, they are playing England too in Twickenham. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's gonna be juicy.
Yeah.
Who are the Welsh playing here?
Australia. Fiji? I feel like we're probably that. We'll see where we're at when we play Australia. Fiji, I think, will beat us.
Oh, you're playing South Africa too.
Yeah,
you guys play South Africa twice this year.
Yeah, we're playing them once in England. Which is a South African home game or something weird. Or a Welsh, I can't remember. It was stupid. But yeah, like, for Wales, I just think, like, I've got high hopes. As long as we can keep building on what we were doing in the Six Nations, I'll be fine. I'll take a few more losses.
I'm really excited to see Fiji.
Yeah. Yeah. They're 10. I forgot his name. But when he got injured before he played Wales, I thought that's a real shame. Because finally, Fiji had a 10 who could kick and control the game really well. So Fiji, now that they've got a professional Druid who've been battle-hardened against like Kiwis and Aussies and stuff, this will be a real interesting...
It also seems like the Super Rugby is really paying dividends for the Drua.
Yeah,
and the national team.
It really is, yeah. It really is.
So, like, they were so much better at the World Cup this year.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, like, they're going to be a force to reckon with.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a big population at all, right? But they only produce athletes. Do you remember watching that Drua game? And, like, even their nine was bigger than the Aussie forwards.
Yeah. Because they're not even sitting at the bottom.
No. No, this will be good.
They're sitting in seventh place. They only got 3 wins and 5 losses.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Hurricanes still haven't even lost a game. So like, oh. But yeah, I think the Drua, having the Drua there, like, is showing progress.
Yeah, it is.
The thing is, Moana Pacifica is not really translating. But I don't really know how that team works.
I don't know how really that translates to Tonga and Samoa. And there was a bit of drama about it because, is it Tanga... I can't remember his name. The coach there, he was kind of pissed that the Kiwis were still basically just poaching his players, even though the whole point of it was like, shouldn't we give some players to Tonga and Samoa?
I remember that.
It's like, this is not the point of this. But yeah. Anyway.
I think we've gone through...
We've gone on a roundabout tour of the world.
We did. We did a round
tour. We tangented through every fucking rugby country then, didn't we? Yeah. It was a bit haphazard.
You get all your rugby news in one spot.
Not in any specific order.
We'll cover it all.
Yeah. Send us a question. We'll talk about it.
All right, friends. Well, if you have any questions, you can email us at thefriendsofrugbypod@gmail.com. You can also check us out on X.
Can you?
Yeah, we're on X.
I don't want to be.
I deal with the X stuff.
Yeah, you do.
I do the Xing. Is that what you call it when you do a tweet?
Do you know, I don't fucking care. Not going near that cesspool. But yeah, you should like us on there or something.
Yeah. Come and join us on X. X me.
Yeah.
Come X us. Just X all over us and we'll and we'll get back to you. Have a good one, friends.
Bye-bye.